What's up, everybody? On this episode of the Sneaks and Stats podcast, we're talking about Game 7 of the NBA Finals and the newly crowned OKC Thunder. We're talking about the unfortunate Tyrese Haliburton injury, KD trades, Desmond Bain trades, sale of the Lakers. You're not going to want to miss it. So stay tuned. It's happening all right now.
Right now. A Wiggy, what is up to everyone out there? Thank you for listening and watching. We are the Sneaks and Stats podcast. I am Sneaker Peter Onovich.
Which makes me the Statistical Fader. Welcome to episode 66.
That's right, 66. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, smash that like button, and comment on our videos. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, X, TikTok, and Threads. Statty Daddy, what up, homie?
It's Graphic Tee Day.
It is, huh?
Sneaks and Stats podcast.
You got your dad shirt on.
I got my new Father's Day shirt.
How many episodes of Bluey have you watched with
all of them?
Your son?
All of them. They're only 7 minutes a pop.
Yeah.
Easy money. Put that on.
Have you seen?
It's great.
Have you seen the very last episode, the sad one where they sell the house?
Yeah.
Dude,
that one's makes me
sad.
I start mouth breathing.
Yes.
Hyperventilating. Yeah, I know. Bluey's fantastic.
Yeah, they did.
Can't recommend Bluey enough.
And then mine is I have my Rhea Ripley shirt, who's my favorite woman wrestler. She is the GOAT. Mommy, I love you.
Wow. Yeah. Quite the pitch.
Her name is Mommy.
Dude, whatever,
that's
dude.
That's her nickname.
That's the nickname I gave. I made the shirt.
I started all of that. It was all me. But welcome, everybody.
Yes. Quite the end to the NBA season.
Yeah.
Which, if somehow you watch the show and don't know, the finals are done.
Yeah.
2025 NBA champs are the OKC Thunder, just as we predicted.
We've been talking about them a lot over the last year.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They were projected to be, you know, the best team in the regular season.
Yep.
They were the regular season champ, you know, best record. We chose them to go to the finals, and they did. What was surprising was the Pacers, obviously, right?
That was nobody easily the biggest surprise.
And no disrespect to them, we got to give them their credit. They took them all. They went all as far as they could without winning it. You know,
literally.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
how did you enjoy this finals compared to other ones that didn't involve, like, you know, Lakers and stuff?
I think it was one of the most fun finals to watch from kind of the perspective of, like, okay, this Thunder team is so good. They're, like, one of the best teams of all time on the numbers. On paper, they're all these young athletic guys that are primed to be doing this over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you had kind of, like, I would call it a Cinderella story. Like, how did they get here? How are they holding their own? Because, I mean, the popular pick before the final started was Thunder in five.
Yeah.
Pacers might get one at home. But then to have them come out and have Tyrese hit the game-winning shot in game one to steal it, that changed the whole tone of the finals. It was really fun. That's going to be a shot to remember. I think it'll be a finals to remember. I saw someone compare it to the 2021 finals, which, you know, was the first time in a while that it was new faces, because we're on the NBA's on the seventh new franchise in a row. Seven different franchises in a row have won the title. And I think 2021 with the Bucks and the Suns, that was kind of the start of that. The year before, LeBron and the Lakers. LeBron has obviously been there 10 times.
You brought up a stat last time. It was the first time, what was it, like the Lakers or LeBron have been in the finals for like the last...
I think in the last, it was like the last 25, since 1999, I think it was the first time that a team from California, Texas, and maybe Florida,
right, that
haven't
wasn't
been
in
the finals.
Yeah, which is kind of insane.
So, yeah, it's pretty nuts if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
But But yeah, so I saw that comparison made because it was kind of like this was fresh faces for a lot of, you know, people that maybe don't know the NBA as well. No LeBron, no Steph, no KD, none of these guys that have been in the finals many, many times. So I think I really, really enjoyed this finals. I guess maybe I could see how some people wouldn't have liked it. It was a really interesting game. I feel like on the court between two teams, I feel like neither of them played like they did in the regular season. They both were kind of high volume scoring teams, especially the Pacers. And, you know, it's the playoffs. The game slows down and the scores get lower, but they got really low. And, but I think it's been one of my, this will be a fun finals, but we'll talk about it more, but the injury to Haliburton did not ruin it, but like,
yeah,
it's a huge like cloud over this finals of like knowing what happened.
Would have been nice to see how the game would have played out if he was playing still, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know with the Pacers. Like, it's tough to count them out with Haliburton on the team. But I feel like just as, like, to have that happen in the last game of the season, there's not going to be anything else. Like,
you don't wish on anybody.
It just kind of puts, like, this huge damper on it for me.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Where, like, it kind of I thought the Pacers were going to, like, be deflated as well, but they really held their own through three, essentially. So it definitely, I feel like one of the more strange, that makes it, one of the more strange finals.
Yeah.
Like, just strange circumstances of the injury, the team that got there, like the Pacers, it's such a crazy road to get there. So kind of, I don't know, fun. It was certainly fun, but yeah, it was definitely, it feels weird now looking back on it already just one day later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, To the basketball fan, I think you enjoyed this series. Obviously, you had Haliburton doing what he was doing, and the Thunder are just a good team. So that but to the average watcher, I think the excuse is, oh, there's no stars on this team. You know, they're gonna say,
yeah,
this is what the NBA really wanted. But at the same time, it's like, this is proof that, you know, a team like the Pacers could make it, and any team can really do it. You know what I mean? There wasn't a huge, like Haliburton wasn't even an all-star, right? You brought that up last episode.
Yeah.
And he was able to bring his team, you know, to the finals. So that was cool to watch. But yeah, I mean, out of all the finals that we've watched, I don't know if I'd put that in, you know, my top 10 best, but I mean, as a basketball fan, it was super entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Top 10 best, that's like tough.
That's tough. There's
many, many a good finals. But I kind of felt like after game one, this was the first finals in a while where there was no, like, all of a sudden the clear-cut favorite is, it's like, oh, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like Celtics were pretty heavily favored the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets, I mean, they were playing like an seven seeded Heat team that was not supposed to be there either, and was just dragged there by Jimmy Butler. The Warriors, that was a pretty fun series, but it also was kind of like that Warriors team got on a roll, and that Celtics team was so young.
Yeah.
Like, you knew they were going to win one, but it was just a bad matchup. So I do feel like for the first time in a while, it was a matchup after game one where it was like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
And I still, you know, for those of you guys that maybe, I mean, I think everyone that watches this knows Tyrese Haliburton, and he left the court with a very bad looking injury after 7 minutes in the first quarter, and it turns out he's torn his Achilles. I mean, if he plays in that game,
yeah,
who knows what happens?
Exactly.
How would that have changed it for you as far as like the enjoyment of the finals if the Pacers had won?
I would have loved it, just because I think they were the underdogs in this. Whether it was, you don't know who was going to win it or not, they're the underdog. You always, for me, I like to root for the underdog, especially if my team's not in the fight.
Yeah.
Haliburton continues to surprise us and do these things that you know, we didn't expect. So I definitely would have loved to have, for him to be in the game. Which brings up what I was going to say was these last two playoffs have kind of taken away some of the stars because of these injuries, and almost like the same ones. Like Tate, yeah. So we lost Tatum, who we probably won't see next season. We won't probably see Halliburton. Kyrie will probably come back towards the end, or maybe after All-Star break of next season because of when he got hurt. It's just tough. It makes me think, and you brought up a good point earlier, a lot of these injuries started off as calf injuries, calf and strains.
Yeah.
Do you think they should baby these injuries a little more? Do you think, like, because I understand, like, if I can play, I'm going to play too, like, whatever, right? But if it's, like, going to be bad for the future of your team, and, you know, if only you take a couple more weeks off, would that have saved them? Or, I mean, would the injury have happened, you think? I mean,
yeah. I don't
like,
know.
Because I think of baseball, right? Like, Shohei, they baby him with the pitching. Like, he only pitches one inning here and there, and he's probably been ready for a couple months. But do you feel like the teams should take these injuries a little more serious, even if it's just a little calf strain? Do you think they should get the... Even if the player's like, I can play, do you think they should say, no, let's give it a week or 2 weeks? Do you think they should baby the injury a little more, is what I'm asking?
In the finals... That's tough, really tough. I'm sure even if you asked Tyrese Halliburton right now, like, he would have been like, no, 100% of the time I'm going to play, like, if I'm able to. And to be honest, you know, when he went down with that injury, which was game 4, I think, I want to say.
Yeah.
He, like, when he came back, I was like, oh, he looks good. Like, yeah. He's moving. He seems to be moving fine. They kept saying on the broadcast, "Oh, you know, he's favoring that leg." But I thought he looked really good. So I don't know. Right. I think I was actually just game 6 that he injured it. So he seemed fine at the start of the game, and everything seemed good. So I would probably have been like, yeah, go play. It's game 7. Like, yeah. you gotta play.
So you're saying, like, depending on what part of the season we're on is where you would determine to play or not?
I mean, me personally, yeah.
Yeah, like regular season, obviously.
No.
Take a couple weeks off.
Yeah. Because I don't know if teams are going to start looking at calf strains as a highly accurate predictor for Achilles tears.
True.
You know, with greater strain and everything.
But is it an indicator that it could affect that? Like, would people in the medical...
That's what I would assume.
Would, like, the trainer at least be like, hey, this could affect your Achilles? Like, I would imagine so, right?
That they're going to research it, at yeah. least.
Let's look at what... Now that the series is over, what do you think was the deciding factor of what... Obviously not Halliburton going down, but... What was there things that stood out to you in terms of, like, what the Thunder did to get this game 7? Or
I do think, you know, we talked about it before in the last episode that we were both a little bit disappointed in Chet.
Yeah.
And just how, you know, he seemed really frustrated with a lack of fouls, which I never like. It's just if you're complaining about not getting fouls, it's just frustrating, you know. I don't think he was out there. It was physical. Him and Miles Turner were really going at it. But I think he really stepped up in game 7, you know. He kind of showed his stuff. He was able to stay on the court more. So I think as far as, like, because the Thunder did have to come back yesterday. You know, they were down or up by only 1 or 2 points for most of that first half, and then started to pull away. And I do think Chet had more of his fingerprints on that second half, and especially defensively, just kind of made a much... He put his will on the game more so, like, I think we thought he could.
That he could, yeah.
He really kind of lived up to the potential for that Game 7. So, you know, I think that really changed things. Is the Thunder's defense as a whole was just kind of too much for the Pacers without Halliburton.
Yeah, Lou Dort hit a couple of big... shots, like,
yeah,
the shot, yeah, clock rainbow, three,
yeah.
Shea hit some timely shots that, you know, in a game that was really close to 2-3 points, that finally turned into 10 points. And then you saw in the fourth quarter, it went up to like 18, yeah. 21. I think those runs were vital for them winning that game too. So obviously tough. You lost your star player, kind of down, and got to dig deeper, right? So I don't know if that had anything to do with it in terms of for them on the offensive end.
But I do think it was the Pacers' offense just seemed like it was missing something, you know? Yeah. Haliburton just puts pressure on defenses in a way where the ball is just always moving. And even though I still don't feel like we talked about as well that Haliburton, I think, should penetrate more and should look to score in the paint just a little bit more, even if he's going to kick it out, just to have that be a threat, because it seems like he just kind of runs to the elbow extended, and then jump pass out, which, you know, that does work for them a lot. But I do think, you know, his style that he makes the Pacers have is quick passes, quick decisions, quick cuts. Like, it's so fast paced and so free flowing and loose, where it's kind of, as a defense, you don't know where the ball is going to end up.
McConnell basically took over the offense there and
changed it, though, because he's not Haliburton. Haliburton's one of one. Mm-hmm. McConnell was great.
He's more of like a...
He's a traditional...
Create for somebody else.
Steve Nash kind of...
That's exactly what I'd say, like a Chris Paul type
run to the paint, maybe run back out, mm-hmm. you know, keep dribbling. He was getting his shots off, though. I mean, he had kind of had to take control of the offense just from like a ball handling shot creation aspect, because a lot of the other Pacers players are great at either diving or spotting up for three, mm-hmm. and not so much creation with the ball in their hands. So he really had to take over that role. And he was super impressive, man. I've always liked TJ McConnell. I really felt like he left it all out there.
Always hated him when he played the Lakers, but because of the things he does to the Lakers, because he's so good. Very crafty, shifty guy. Been in the league for a long time. I don't know if you saw that video with him and his mom, you know, crying in the locker.
Yeah.
Or on the way to the locker room last night. So, you know,
she was trying to get the cameras out of there.
Stop recording. Yeah. Yeah. But shout out to the Thunder. This system that they put in by, you know, getting all the draft picks, finally getting the team built the way they wanted, and getting the success is finally here. They still have, what we've said before, they still have plenty of picks to go if they want to choose somebody or, you know, add to the edges to the team. I'm sure they'll make maybe a little changes this offseason, depending on what they feel like they need. But built to last for another couple of years, and it's kind of dangerous.
You know, all we talked about this as well, that pretty much all of the main guys are signed through at least next season, and they have the rights to all of the, they're all so young that
they're
on their either rookie contract or rookie extension. So like Chet, he's kind of the only main guy that could become a free agent in 26-27.
But
they can offer him the most money. They have the first right, like he's going to be extension eligible, and they're going to offer him a big contract. At some point, the Thunder will have to make some money decisions.
Yeah.
You know, that is a smaller franchise as far as fan base, and just there's not a lot of money going into the OKC area for sports. So at some point, they're going to have to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
But for the next, like, 3 to 5, maybe longer.
Good luck.
Oh, man.
League.
Yeah, seriously. It's going to be scary.
And like I said, with a lot of guys being down, mostly in the East, but is that going to make their route a little easier? I mean,
man, that's a good point. With the injuries in the East and just the makeup of teams in the East, I do kind of feel like if you win the Western Conference Finals,
that is the final winner.
You've won. Yeah. Obviously, the Pacers kind of proved us wrong in that this year. Like, they really, you know, they were a threat to the Thunder and really just winning one of the craziest playoff runs ever for a team. I saw a clip of Bill Simmons saying this is the first time in his memory where if he thinks about this finals and this playoffs, he's not going to think about the team that won it all.
Yeah.
Like, first thing he's going to be like, oh, that was that Pacers year.
Yeah.
Like, if you say, oh, the 24-25 year.
Trippy to think about. That's kind of true, because all you think about now is Hallie.
You're going to think about Hallie, but also, I mean, the Pacers run just almost, it really doesn't make sense. They just, outworked and outran, and they just never. I think that's the thing where
that's what you want to. You like that as a basketball fan.
You kind of saw it last night too, where this happened in a couple of games where the Thunder are ahead by like 15. There's like 5 minutes left, and all of a sudden there's 3 minutes left, and they're only up by like 8 or 10. And yeah, it's like, oh man, here, like when one team starts letting up a little bit, the Pacers, that's when they, you know, put the pedal to the metal. So it was a really fun run. Do you think they have another shot with Haliburton on the team?
I think they can make the playoffs. I don't know if they could
next year
to even be close to repeating what they did this year.
Let's just say in any year though, looking forward at that team.
I think with Haliburton eventually coming back, maybe in another 2-3 years, I can see them being successful again. I'm gonna say yeah.
Just to give you guys an idea, Miles Turner is a unrestricted free agent this offseason. Pascal Siakam is signed through the 27-28, Haliburton through 28-29. Obi Toppin, who is so frustrating for me personally, is signed through 27-28. Nesmith, 26-27. McConnell, 27-28, with a team option for the following year. Mathurin is still on his rookie contract, so he'll probably get an extension. So Ben Shepherd, who got a lot of good minutes, still on his rookie contract. So most of that team can probably come back. Nemhard is signed through 27-28, so they're built to last too. Yeah. Not this upcoming season, obviously.
You just need Hallie. Your main guy.
You need Hallie. Hallie is the motor that makes that team run.
And I'd like to think too, with a successful team like these two that were in the finals, the free agents would like to stay just because of the success they already had there, the familiarity.
We'll see.
I mean, again, money talks.
Money talks.
But in terms of these two teams, it's hard for me to see. They seem pretty tight-knit, both of them, and I don't really see anyone leaving. But again, you know, we'll see. This is Shams Charania, you said this is going to be the craziest offseason that anybody ever sees.
And we can move on to that. It's already started. I did want to say, personally, I don't know if the Pacers will make it back to the finals. Yeah. Even with a really weak Eastern Conference, you still have the Celtics, you still have the Knicks. Those are two teams that are going to be, I mean, they beat them, but it's going to be really tough to beat those teams, I think. So
we're assuming the Knicks will be fully healthy. I think Giannis is still going to be in Milwaukee.
In the East, even.
You know, yeah.
We'll see.
So we'll see how that goes.
Super fun finals, but let's move on to some of the crazy offseason that already happened.
Dude. Crazy stories that just popped out of nowhere that we didn't know.
There was some super. There was some stuff that we saw. The writing was on the wall, and there was some stuff that no one could have predicted, as a fan or most media members. I don't think knew about some of these stories.
Do you want to start with the Magic Kingdom, or do you want to start with the Los Angeles?
What about H-Town?
Oh, that's a big one too.
I think that's a good one to start with.
That's the biggest one.
It was also the one that everybody knew.
Yes.
Kevin Durant has been traded from Phoenix to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th overall pick in the draft, which is tomorrow for you guys watching.
Yes.
And 5 future second round picks. And the Rockets got only KD, no draft compensation. That was it. Mm-hmm. How do you like that trade for both sides?
I thought the 5 second-round picks were a little bit of a trip. I automatically went to, well, if you keep Dylan Brooks, then that's your small forward defensive guy. you're obviously going to keep Book. I don't think they move him. But now it's like you have 5-6 guards on that team. Obviously, you're still going to have the offseason to put the team together. I don't know what the money situation looks like, but I do know that the Suns are in trouble for a long time.
Kevin Durant is a guy that likes to talk, so maybe someday we'll know what exactly happened there.
Yeah.
But if you guys weren't keeping up, you know, there was rumors like, oh, Kevin Durant's going to be traded during the trade deadline in February, and that didn't.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
Supposedly, there was talks about a Warriors reunion.
Yeah.
I was seeing earlier today that
Spurs.
The Spurs at the time. John Gambadaro, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, radio host in Arizona for ArizonaSports.com. He tweeted today that supposedly there was a deal at the deadline for Jabari Smith Jr. and Jalen Green from the Rockets.
Yeah.
Which Jabari Smith Jr. is really
baller.
Good. I feel like I kind of like that better than Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green and all these picks, but maybe the 10th pick will end up being a super, super amazing player. You just don't know.
You know what me and Carlo were talking about? We were talking about how Houston's big three is pretty nasty if you think about it.
Amen Thompson. Length, dude.
The length? Oh, my God. Amen Thompson with KD and Şengün is pretty nice.
And, dude, Jabari Smith is there. Tari Eason
is super not bad. Nice. And Van Vliet's still there.
Van Vliet is the starting point guard. That team...
That's a nasty team, dude.
One of my friends, you know, he thought that this return for KD was too much. I just don't know anymore. Because he kept saying, you know, he's 37.
We talked about it. The second round picks, to me, were kind of weird. Like, I brought up to Julian earlier that... What if the five picks were like a sweetener? Like, we'll give you a second round pick. Well, five of them? Yeah.
And, you know, the NBA trade stuff is so weird where, like, it's like, okay, this pick's conditional on if we don't make the playoffs and you do, and then you don't get it, but it's a swap. Like, you honestly don't know if these picks are actually going to be real.
Yes.
Like, that's just how it goes. I don't know how that works. It's way above my head. But,
And you brought it up, too. If the Rockets would look like they're going to be good for the next couple of years, what are those second round picks even going to mean to you, right?
I mean, they signed Van Vliet. You know, he's on a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Like this, yeah, I feel like this team is going to be good for a while. Where like a second round pick might be the 55th pick.
Yeah,
like Şengün is that good.
Yeah.
Van Vliet is actually on a team option for this upcoming season, and then it's a new contract after that, so he could leave, I guess. But yeah, I just think the Rockets with Şengün are going to always be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those picks, to me, those aren't that valuable. Where, you know, a trade we'll talk about later, Desmond Bane, they got five first round picks.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah. That was the trade where I thought, wow, they really gave... And no disrespect to Desmond Bane. He's a great player, a starter for any team, really. But
yeah,
that haul should be the KD haul.
We'll take a quick detour there. So it was a Desmond Bane to the Magic for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
No pulp.
Cole Anthony, who... That's fine.
Backup guard.
Yeah, like KCP and Cole Anthony are okay. But here's the real kicker is four unprotected first round picks from the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
The Magic...
They're going for it.
They just don't stay good for that long. They always find a way to scare away their star player. So
yeah,
who knows with that. Those could be pretty valuable. And then one first round pick swap.
Yeah.
So five total first round picks... That could be beneficial for the Grizzlies. Four for sure, I think. Four unprotected picks is crazy. I think a good move for the Magic, it gives them a wing scorer, a guy who can kind of do it with a ball in his hands, mm-hmm. where Banchero and Wagner are like...
Take the load off.
They are good with the ball in their hands, but they're not... You don't want that to be your offense. You want someone else
now you have a creator.
to initiate. So I think it's a really, really good move for them now. We'll see how those four first-round picks taste, you know, in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But that's to go back to KD. I'm just confused that, like, okay, Desmond Bane got four sure first-round picks and one swap that could be really good. But then Rudy Gobert got five or six first-round picks.
PG.
Cat got, like, four first-round picks. PG got...
Seven.
Yeah. And then you have, like, Luka was one first-round pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, now KD is one first-round pick.
Do you think it's kind of situational, too, like, with the team and the GM?
Yeah, of course it's situational, but...
Like the Laker one with Luka and AD, you're obviously doing just a swap. But in terms of where they are in their careers, you want picks.
So, I mean, yeah, I do think it's situational, as like you said. Yeah. Like, Luka for AD is almost a fair swap. Like, if they were the same age, that's probably a straight swap. But 80's in his 30s and is super injury prone, and Luka is, like, maybe going to be an MVP one of these days. So, yeah. I just don't understand how... I mean, KD is old. KD is 37. He's had his injury history the last few years, so it is a risk taking him. But I also feel like, for the first time since the Warriors, maybe, like, KD doesn't have to be the number one option.
Yeah.
He's KD, so...
Yeah.
He can score from anywhere. He can get you 30 almost every night. But Şengün is really, really good, and he can be your first option, I think, if KD is just not having it that night, you know? Yeah.
And we might even see a rise of... we saw the rise of Amen Thompson already this year.
Dude.
He might be a top, like a big, you know, might make a big leap next year.
If he can put a shot in with what he's already doing,
yeah,
it is over. He's special, man.
I did not expect him to be that good coming off of the draft.
Asar is pretty good too, but Amen Thompson is...
Yeah. No, he's the better brother,
He is ridiculous. His defensive awareness and ability... And his just physical athleticism, like, off the charts, man. He's a special player.
You know, going toward switching over to the Desmond Bane trade, the Magic signed KCP to a pretty big contract, hoping that he would be a Lakers version of who he was.
Nuggets version,
yeah. You know, and. He just didn't pan out, which is why I think they added him and to unload that contract as well. So I think it was good for him in that sense. And can he revive himself in Memphis? He could. You know,
Memphis has kind of a strange roster.
And now the question is, are they in a mini rebuild, or are they gonna start selling off all the other guys? You know, because there was already rumors of Ja Morant getting traded in this offseason too. So,
oh, that would be nuts. I still think that Ja could be the guy that's like a franchise player.
It's right there for him to take. Yeah,
he just has to. Yeah, he has to step up and take it. I felt like last year we talked about it. He had a better second half, but that first half he was shooting it really poorly. Lots of turnovers. Just didn't feel like himself, and then he kind of got back into a better groove in the second half. But even in the playoffs, it was kind of like, oh, this is Desmond Bane's team. Yeah. It kind of felt like, in a way.
Joel was playing kind of hurt too, I think.
Yeah. He was hot and cold. So I just don't know. This Memphis team is like, they're just kind of weird.
It's really weird considering they were the same team for the last couple of years, and kind of gave the Lakers a run for their money in the playoffs, you know, when they played. So they looked like a team that was going to do a lot better than what actually happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think they've been disappointing.
For sure. Yeah, and last year was a big disappointment, I think. Yeah, because they were struggling to make it to one of the 10 seeds. I think they barely made it to the play-in, right?
Yeah, they were
It was in, them in and the Warriors, right? I think. And then they just got bounced because they weren't good.
Yeah, because they weren't good.
They weren't good.
I think personnel-wise, yeah, it makes sense. But just like, okay, 5 first-round picks for Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
Like, if you say that, you're like, he is really good, but is he that good? Like, is he...
Right.
Because picks, I mean, for some of these teams, like the Suns, you would think, picks should be the ultimate goal. Like,
yeah.
The Suns' offense is not going to make any sense now, I think. So that I would have got more picks. But I do think the Magic will be... They were already like kind of an up-and-coming team. They struggled midway through the season and couldn't finish very strong.
But they're
going to be good.
I think they're going to be good. I think Paolo Banchero missed a bunch of games in the beginning of the season because he was coming back from something.
Same with Wagner, too.
Wagner did, too. They had high expectations, I think, with a lot of the injuries, again, to the players in the East. And this addition of Bane... to the Magic, I think I could see them being good next season, for sure.
Yeah, no, I think they're gonna have a super good year. I like the move. I'm just surprised at the amount of picks given.
Yeah,
same
here.
That's the only thing. I do think it's interesting though that like these trades were able to happen right now.
Yeah.
I, you know, obviously free agency will start probably like July 1st, July 4th, around that time. And that's when the real everything starts to happen.
Yeah.
But it does, I do kind of feel like, shouldn't they have had to wait on these trades until, yeah. maybe they aren't official. Maybe it just leaked and this is what's going to happen. I mean, Desmond Bane's already been in a jersey and like yeah. on their social media. So that one's definitely official.
Yeah, that's true.
But
because you usually hear of these after the draft, right?
I feel like you don't hear of these giant trades in the middle of the finals. These all were announced in the middle of the finals.
We're always super pretty weird. We're always pretty giddy when it's like, okay, 9 a.m. Once 9 a.m. hits, free agency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we start hearing all the craziness.
Because I think, too, obviously everyone on with the Pacers was focused on the finals. Like,
yeah.
That's where and the Thunder as well, of course. But, like, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, man, if I was the Pacers and I had known or had any inkling that Desmond Bane was available,
yeah,
man, it makes me maybe think about, oh, Mathurin and Nesmith, kind of a Desmond Bane light. Would I like to have the real thing? I feel like Desmond Bane would have been a fun fit on that Pacers team.
It'd be a great fit for them, bro.
I kind of feel like if I was them, I'd be like, why are we trading? Like, I would have wanted to have, I would have maybe outbid them, mm-hmm. you know? Probably not. But maybe I wouldn't want to try, you know?
That's a good point. Imagine Bane being on the Pacers right now to kind of help Hallie being out. And then when Hallie comes back, you have both.
I think Nesmith, Nembhard, and Mathurin, I like all of them.
Yes.
Mathurin is a little hot and cold and hot-headed. But I feel like if I was a Pacers fan, I would be happy with them. But if you could swap two of them for Bane,
that'd be great.
An interesting proposition for sure. So I just ran through my mind. I'm like, dude, if I was I don't think there was any rumors of that. But if I was the Pacer, I'd be like, I would like to have gotten in on this action at least.
Yeah, for sure. It might not even been in their mind though, with the finals and stuff going on. But
that's what I'm saying. Like they shouldn't. I feel like maybe there just shouldn't be any trades until
till everything's
that's
done.
That's what the trade deadline is for.
Yeah.
Like I know most teams are in the off season. But, like, shouldn't every team have to wait until the offseason is officially begun?
True. And also, a big trade like KD can take away from the finals, right?
Yeah.
For ESPN, some people. That's all they're talking about.
So. Yeah.
But these players wear shoes.
We got one more big piece of news. You're getting ahead of yourself there, buddy. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The sale.
The sale of the century.
Yes.
Also, during this past week, it was completely out of the blue announced that the Los Angeles Lakers, the Buss family, will be selling their majority stake to
Mark Walter,
who is a minority holder of the Lakers already.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be he's going to be owning the Lakers. He's going to be the majority owner. So, crazy sale, reportedly being done for $10 billion.
Which is setting the new mark for franchises.
Which is crazy because there's been a few sales of like smaller franchises, just not in LA or New York or even in Golden State. I mean, that team hasn't been sold, but like in smaller markets, like the Commanders sold for around $6 billion.
To Magic,
And then the Celtics were sold earlier this year. It was announced
6.4
for 6.4, which was just above the Commanders' price. And it was like the highest sports sale ever. So now to reportedly almost double that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is nuts. And also, this was completely out of nowhere. There was no inkling that the Buss family was going to sell their stake.
And it also makes you feel good that the Lakers are worth more than the Celtics, right?
Yes, it does. You may have one more championship, but we have more money.
Yeah. We did it!
Anything is possible.
You brought up a good point or a good stat. Who would have thought that the Lakers and Celtics would be sold in the same year? The two most storied franchises in the NBA getting sold in the same... Kind of insane to think about. Obviously, we don't know what position the previous owners are in. Jeannie Buss supposedly was in talks to make this sale for years already.
Rumors are. Yeah.
I just wonder what the reason is behind doing it now. You know.
Well, you know, I mean, like when you're at that level of wealth, right? It's like even though you obviously have a lot of spendable money,
yeah,
a lot of it is like valuation.
Right.
Like, Jeannie Buss is worth well, now $10 billion, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever, you know. She was worth X amount, but a lot of that was because she owned the Lakers. I do think it's important to note that, you know, for most of these other sports owners, it's almost like a hobby. Mm-hmm. Like Steve Ballmer, he bought the Clippers, but he doesn't need to make money off them. He would obviously like to make money off them.
His stuff coming in from somewhere else.
But his Microsoft money is never, he's never going to be insecure about money.
Yeah.
Where with the Buss family, when Dr. Buss bought the team in the 70s,
that's all he had.
He leveraged all his other wealth and businesses to buy the Lakers and the Kings at the time and the Forum. Like, he leveraged everything to get his hands on the Lakers. So the Buss family as a whole, this was their business. Like, yeah. Making money off the Lakers was the name of the game. So I do think the sale makes sense from the point of, like, now they can just kind of rest on their laurels and, like, they have money for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Without having to worry if the team is going to do poorly or not.
Yeah, that's true.
So it makes sense, I think, you know. Supposedly Jeannie is still going to be acting chairman, governor mm-hmm. of the Lakers. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, because you brought up what happened to Mark Cuban. So, you know, might be a different situation, but, you know, never know.
And Mark Walter, of course, is the owner of the Sparks. He is the owner of the entire Women's Hockey League, mm-hmm. one of the owners of the league. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, the majority owner of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. Mm-hmm. They have been one of the franchises that is able to not only spend smartly, but also have, like, they always are able to find new talent. And obviously... Yeah. You know, the minor league situation for the MLB is way different than the NBA, but, mm-hmm. you know, he's been, all in all, a good owner and able to put talent on the field, not just from paying people to come, but also finding talent and making them
yeah.
talented players from not nothing, but
yeah.
from the ground up. So, I think as a Lakers fan, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's sad to think of the Buss family not being involved with the Lakers anymore. But I do think the time for change is now.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Luka becoming the face of the franchise,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna be fun. It's going to be interesting.
Brian Windhorst brought up a good point. Shout out, Wendy. He brought up that the thinking and the strategy behind the Buss brothers and Jeannie is kind of old school, you know. Mark Walters is obviously... a win now. You brought up the Dodgers. They're obviously,
yeah,
you know, in position to win multiple championships, not just because of the players they brought in, but, you know, good scouting, a good GM, you know, things like that. Obviously, the Lakers have some of those things in place already with Pelinka and all that. But I kind of agree with the fact that, you know, maybe Jeannie and them are a little too loyal to certain players. How they thought about signing certain players here and there. I think now with Mark Walters, he won't care about certain things and just be like, okay, maybe we need to just get the best. We're gonna win. So in that sense, I kind of agree with Wendy that, you know, maybe it was just they just run their time owning the Lakers, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of out of date. They're thinking of how to run the Lakers organization.
I mean, they definitely, the Lakers especially, like, historically and to this day, they keep it all in the family.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name right now, but our head of scouting is a Buss family member.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jeannie dated Phil Jackson for a very long time,
yeah.
who is close with the Lakers. Pelinka, Kobe's agent, mm-hmm. you know, obviously had a relationship with the Buss family before he was there. We briefly had Magic as GM, who is... a family friend of the Buss family, mm-hmm. a longtime family friend. So there is that aspect of, you know, maybe the best people weren't being brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like Pelinka. There's a lot of critics of his just because it seems like every offseason, you know, the Lakers need one big piece. They need this. And I would say more or less we fail to get good talent in during the offseason. But these trades he's made over the last few years have been very good.
I agree.
So we'll see. I'm kind of hoping that there's not too much of a shakeup as far as the staff, the
yeah.
front office. Probably if there is, it wouldn't be this season. You know, you don't usually come and just clean house as a new owner. It's a bad look. You wait a season, generally speaking. And then if you don't win the championship, you can blame it on, well, they didn't meet expectations. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting future for the Lakers, but I think that's the exciting part of it, is that now things, I don't know. It did feel like the Lakers were kind of old school, so hopefully
maybe it's time for a change there.
Yeah.
Kind of a trip. Mark Walters and his group acquired the Dodgers in 2012. Dodgers saw the first World Series 2017, so 5 years. I'm not putting the Lakers on that timeline, but, you know, it showed that they really cared about getting there sooner than later. Gonna be interesting to see, like, if the Lakers can kind of, or where they'll be at in the next, like, 2 to 3, just to, or will they be in the finals within the next 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
But it is, like you said, it's exciting to see a new fresh face to own the Lakers. Excited to see what they'll do with it, with the team, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously very different in baseball, where you can kind of spend almost unlimitedly on the players.
Yeah.
That semi-hard cap, the soft cap of the NBA definitely makes that challenging. But they have, you have Luka Doncic and you have LeBron James. Yeah. So you should be... The goal is
in place,
the goal already. Is a championship
within
easily the next 5 years, probably three.
Because the Mark Walters and them got the team, and they instantly made that crazy trade with the Red Sox. I don't know if you remember, for like Hanley Ramirez, Adrian Gonzalez, they brought in Manny Ramirez at one point, you know, and ever since then they've really just kind of went for it in terms of just getting stars over here. So. What I'm saying is, I wonder if that transfers over to the Lakers as well, you know, and I don't see why it wouldn't.
We'll see. Yeah, he's Mark Walter is a smart spender, or at least the Dodgers are. I mean, that could be Andrew Friedman, who is a hell of a general
Can we
manager.
Defer money in the NBA as well?
Seriously, that would be crazy. But yeah, that's kind of those were the three big ones over this off season.
Just started.
So far, yeah. And like you said, Shams Charania has reported that it's going to be a big one. So
he doesn't lie.
No lie
from him.
So we'll see. Gonna be exciting, that is for sure. But it was a fun NBA season. I feel like this was one of the most competitive NBA seasons in a long time,
for sure,
from just the regular season even into the playoffs. So the NBA is in good hands.
Allstate. Don't hate on the how many people are watching the games, or is the ratings and all that stuff. The real basketball fans will watch.
Hate on the All-Star game, though. That's okay.
Fix the All-Star game, please.
Yes.
Hashtag fix the All-Star game.
Yes. Shall we talk about these shoes?
What are you wearing, first of all?
I'm wearing my old Dunkaroos.
Dunkaroonies?
Yeah.
I love those.
Me too. Thank you.
Plaids?
They match my shirt, kind of.
It's great.
Yeah.
Bluey.
What do we got here?
That's my first wear of my reimagined Chicago ones.
They're beautiful.
I love them.
They are fire.
I don't mind un-DSing a pair for the podcast. I will do that every single time. So this is my first time wearing these, and I love them very much.
They are ridiculous. But shall we talk about some new releases? Brand spanking new.
Yes. And we got some heat for them today.
We do have some heat. You picked out some good ones.
Thank you, sir.
First up, these released this morning from when the podcast is coming out.
Yes.
The Nike Air Max 90 and Pata collab. And this is the Cyber colorway.
Yes.
There is one more pair in this release, the Sapphire colorway here. Mm-hmm. How you feeling about these?
I love them. I know that you guys are seeing this the next day, but I will be going for them, hopefully.
Give us an update.
By the time you guys...
I'll edit it in. I'll be like, he got them.
I'll be like, I got them. But I love it. I've always been a huge fan of the Air Max 90. I've always been a fan of the Pata designs. For those of you who don't know, Pata is an Amsterdam-based store that has been doing collabs with Nike for a really long time. They're more famous collab was in 2021 Air Max 1, where they do the waves, as you can see here, that they've added on to the 90, which is their...
I like it a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of like their signature, and then they throw their own logo on the shoe. Every time they collab with Nike, they put it in there somewhere. Just a super cool shoe, a classic Volt colorway, really, yep, of the 90. You got the padda on the insole, padda on the side, typical Air Max 90, but obviously with the waves. But this is the other colorway. This is the Sapphire, which is the purple. I do like the Cyber a little
the
more.
The Cyber, yeah. The Volt is classic Nike. So.
Yes.
I think we've talked about this before, but where does the Air Max 90 rank in your Air Max
rankings? I'd have to go the 2.
Okay.
Behind the Air Max 1.
Okay.
I almost have like a typical ranking, but I mean, in terms of comfort, super comfy.
Look at that big old midsole
big
there.
Big
old thing.
Yeah.
These are going to be for $155 through sneakers.
Yes.
So let us know if you guys were able to snag these.
They released also on the PATA website on the 20th.
Oh, so nice.
Look, congrats to you guys that were able to get those.
You lucky dogs.
And on sneakers, they also have matching tracksuits.
Oh, I did see a
you
lot
said
of
they're
that
pretty
collection.
Dope,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I feel like Nike, the matching like clothing pieces that they've been releasing for mm-hmm. some of the shoe releases lately has been really nice.
Super dope.
Like, all the Kobe stuff has been fire.
Yeah.
The Dodger-Kobe collab, everything. I mean, I don't need Mamba catcher's stuff. Gear, but it was nice.
Also, $800? That's crazy. That's the only thing, is like, let's normalize, you know, $30, $40 sweatpants and hoodies again, not $155.
No, thank you. next up, we have a super cool pair that will be coming out later this year.
Yes.
We have the Nike Dunk Low and Stranger Things collab.
Huge.
Little upside down action here. This is, man, this is such a nice looking shoe. If this is truly, I mean, I think these are official images, but mm-hmm. if it comes out like this for sure, the crack leather everywhere and then the rope laces, super dope.
Super sick.
Such a cool looking pair.
I never thought that me and you would like a pair that was part of the series of shoes that are looked used, but this is one that I'm like, this is fire. It looks like a reimagined Dunk.
I think just committing to it for the whole shoe,
yeah,
kind of adds something to it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where like on your reimagines, I don't mind that the collar is kind of the main part with the cracked leather. Like, yeah. I think it looks good. But there is something about just fully committing to this
it is.
That looks dope. And even, I don't know how they did this, but even the midsole, it almost looks, I think it's cracked, but it kind of makes it look like
yellowy.
Suede almost.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Which is kind of crazy to think about, because you don't put suede on the midsole. But
no, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but mm-hmm. the way it looks with that cracking, it kind of makes it almost look soft like suede. So.
Yeah. So, super cool shoe. It reminds me also of the Fragment Jordan 1 Low Travis Scott that's coming out at okay. the end of the year. Almost the same, but obviously with the reverse swoosh, but this is a shoe that we love because of the details again with the upside down Nike and the year of the
wow,
show.
That's a great
on there.
I didn't realize that
and
until
it's,
now.
And it's upside down because of the upside,
the
down,
upside down
in
yeah.
the show.
Yeah.
So it's backwards also on the insole. And to me, one of my maybe top three favorite Netflix shows of all time.
Easy.
They are coming back with their last and final season. In three different dates. So the first three episodes are going to be Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then another two or three on Christmas, and then the very last like grand finale on New Year's Eve.
Wow. I knew about the Thanksgiving. I didn't realize it was being split up into three.
On the holidays, it's kind of a trip too.
Yeah.
But this will be released during the holiday season. No exact release date.
Yet. You know what though? They've had a few. Stranger Things has had a few seasons released on holidays.
Yes.
The second one was released around Halloween, mm-hmm. and the first episode took place on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third season was their, like, summer season.
Yeah.
And it centered around a 4th of July
That's
like,
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
It released on 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything special for the last season.
I forgot to when they released it.
So it's not unusual ground for them. But, yeah, I would assume that these are either going to be, like, a Christmas release for the shoes, mm-hmm. or maybe Thanksgiving.
Yeah, maybe around the like Black Friday type of thing. surprisingly enough, this is the only one that has leaked so far. There's two colorways.
Okay.
So the second one has not released just yet because this information just kind of came out. The second colorway yet to be unveiled uses black, speed red, varsity red, anthracite, and a combination that hints to a more sinister theme. So I'm guessing it's going to be something towards the bad guy like Vecna or something like that. Yeah. Price will be most likely $155 because it's a premium. But, I mean, just a cool, you know.
The upside down Nike really does it for me.
It's so dope,
the upside down logo.
The upside down logo, the cracking makes it look like it's from the 80s.
From the 80s,
the retroness,
yeah.
The supernatural type of, you know, theme going on. Just everything was just beautiful.
So good. I'm definitely going to try and get those. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And then last up, we have another kind of leak, a real leak for sure.
Yeah.
But a pair that we know for sure is coming out sometime this year. It is the Nike SB Nardwuar Dunk.
Yeah.
Classic. Sorry, I messed up your hat.
The human serviette.
That is right. Mr. Nardi himself.
Himself. What? Real quick, what's your favorite Nardwuar interview?
Oh, man.
Tyler? Anytime Tyler's
all
on
the
there,
Tyler ones are pretty funny.
Because they're, like, really close. I love those.
I think the first Tyler one where he interviews kind of all of Odd Future.
Yeah. And they're all there.
They're
yeah.
going crazy doing the most insane stuff. That's pretty funny.
That's a good one.
I think the Igor Tyler one mm-hmm. is pretty funny. Like, he gives him, like, a shirt that doesn't fit. And there's, like, Tyler.
That one? Is that one?
There is that one that's funny. I guess I think of the next one, I guess. Yeah. Where it's, like, they're at a record store, I think, in Canada.
Okay, yeah.
And he gives him, like, a shirt and it, like, doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And all the Tyler ones are really funny. He had a good one with Brockhampton. Where just the dedication. Brockhampton, at the time, like they were saying, like they had 13 members because they were like, no, we have a full time videographer. He's a member of the band, so like he interviewed everybody and had like a gift for them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. I saw one with just from Kent Vlogna actually with Andre 3000.
Oh wow,
dude, that one was dope.
Wow,
and he still, you know, he always blows everyone away with what mm-hmm. he knows. And even Andre was like,
yeah,
who is this guy?
And if you can get Andre to trip out like that, you're doing your job right, man.
The Jay-Z one from like almost 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
now,
that was great.
That one's great because Jay is like, how does this guy know this stuff?
Yeah.
There's so many classic Nardwuar interviews.
I love when they give him a gift because he's always the one gifting them something that they've loved or wanted a long time or something like of retro, you know. Like Trey the Truth, the rapper, he gave him a big stereo. Like what they use for breakdancing one time, and he was like getting emotional. It's. I think he deserves it just because he's a legend.
Such a genuine guy.
Like, yeah,
he's fully himself and so committed to, you know,
and
digging deep, getting the facts right.
Yeah, getting the facts right, and he was really fighting for like doing political things too in his early years. So shout out to him for doing that. But I chose this shoe just because he's such a big figure in music.
Where now shoes and hip hop in particular have kind of
intersected, and with all these collabs with, you know, seeing all these, you know, all these women designing shoes, you see the Travis's blown up with the Off-Whites. This guy definitely deserves his own shoe. Not that it's something that should be in your resume to make you, you know, a legend.
No, he doesn't need this to legitimize himself.
Not at all.
He's legit already.
But if he, you know, he definitely deserves this. The plaid print, and this is one of three or four mock-ups. The legit one.
This is pretty new. I think this just got leaked a few days ago. And the way Sneaker News is describing it and the way these photos are, it makes it seem like this is actually, if it's not a mock-up, it's like an actual copy that someone made.
Yeah.
Then it might be the real thing. But I think there are going to be two colorways, so mm-hmm. this is one of two
mm-hmm.
if it is indeed going to come out this way. But I mean, it looks pretty much exactly like his signature plaid hat.
That's what they're saying is it was a tribute to his Scottish bonnet.
Yes, that's what it is.
And
kind of looks like the
yeah it looks like that though
the sister to my shoe
yes
these,
I mean, you might need to get both and put them side by side. I would totally get.
I'm gonna try and get these for sure. These they're crazy. They're out there. Mm-hmm. And with the black too, I don't know how you feel. I actually don't care for the black that much. Mm-hmm. Kind of wish they maybe went a little bit lighter in color. But I love the all over plaid. That's what a wild choice. But obviously for Nardwuar, it makes perfect sense.
Yes, and if you're gonna go over the top, that's a way to
Go for it. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and. Going back to what you were saying about the black, I was kind of looking at the black sole, and I'm not really a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But with this shoe and the black swoosh, I like it.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's to me, it's still a little bit jarring. Where I think it's a safe choice, but if they just went white for everything,
yeah.
Or for me, if they did what I would do, because I, you know.
Designer.
I'm the best. maybe like a sale check.
Sick.
Gum sole.
Gum sole would have been fire.
That would be my choice. And then a brown lace of some kind.
A brown lace would be sick. Yeah. I mean, to contrast the plaid, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously they used black, but who knows? Again, this is...
Still super early works.
Super early works. There's no release date. Most likely going to be priced at $135. And these shoes are going to keep on rocking in the free world.
That's right.
But shout out Nardwuar, man. Deserve it.
How'd you know that? I think the best, I love those comps of the people finding out, how did you know that? But one of my favorites is Denzel Curry. Mm-hmm. He just leaves. He just runs out. Yeah. He's like, nope.
Yeah. Belt.
Belt.
It's a, what does Future say? What do you cheesecake like? Just regular cheesecake. Fantastic. What's the word?
I can't remember the word.
I forgot the word.
Miraculous.
There's something like that.
Terrific. That one's good. The belt is really good.
Belt, yeah.
There's so many classic Nardwuar moments, man. Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see when the people he's interviewing is like being good to him too.
Yeah.
I like seeing that.
I think for a while he kind of had the rep of like, this guy's goofy, he's weird,
Fred, he gifted Limp Bizkit something, and Fred Durst broke the gift in front of him.
Well, you know, Fred Durst is...
a jerk.
He's pretty much my pick for next president. He's just that kind of guy where everyone loves him. He's never done anything wrong.
I mean, he might be president, considering what's happening.
I think he's... I don't know why. I read something about Limp Bizkit recently. I think he's absconded to, like, Russia. I think he lives in Russia now, which is insane.
Wow.
Anyways, weird detour. that's it for new releases. But to tie in with our last one, I wanted our copper drop to segue from Nardi. So, we have a couple of new releases from frequent Nardwuar collaborator, Tyler the Creator. We have the new LaFleur collab with Converse. And Tyler, for those of you that don't know, dug into the Converse archives and dug back to some of their older models. So up top, we have the 1908 Jogger in the grass green colorway. And down below, we have the 1908 Knot 1 in the cannoli
Vans
colorway.
Era.
Yeah, right? So these are, you know, from the archive, stuff that hasn't been released in a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
They all were available. There's some smaller sizes still available. For the most part, the main men's sizes, they've sold out. But they've all been kind of available in the signature LaFleur colors, blue, pink, green, and brown as well. I thought I'd throw something a little different at you. We don't usually do a lot of... not high fashion, but you know,
yeah,
stuff that you and I probably wouldn't wear.
Can I be in the middle on this one,
right here?
Because this one is really tough. Because I would definitely own and wear both.
I was actually looking at trying to get a pair of those Knot ones. Even though, I mean, like you said, they pretty much just look like a pair of Vans. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool. I mean, Tyler's one of my favorite artists. Yeah. I don't own any LaFleur anything, so I was like, if it's gonna be anything, might as well be the shoe. I don't know if I can pull off the jogger, so I was like, I'll go for something with the cool embroidery, something that's still a little bit out there, but not too outside of my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But just cool. I mean, the LaFleur colorway, I love all the colors they choose.
Yeah.
Very bright, always super floral. So I thought this was another cool collab with Converse and Tyler.
Shout out to designer Tyler too, because he doesn't miss on any of his collabs, bro.
No, he's really been knocking out of the park.
Like all the shoes and collections he's made in the past have been awesome. This one is not anything short of that. The jogger, I love it. I think goes well with a lot of the style that a lot of people are wearing now. With the bigger clothes, yeah. almost looking like I was gonna say like a tennis type of if you're going to a tennis match, right?
Is that a samba?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Those type of like a lot of khaki. Yeah, you know that. I think that it goes really well.
It would fit very well with a khaki outfit.
Yeah. Yes, for now, with what the times now. If I were to choose one though, and I love both, I'm gonna go with the knot one. The knot one. I love the hint of flower right there. Just a nice little touch.
The embroidery was cool. This was the only pair that had that too. The other pairs were just completely blue and green, yes. I believe.
And with a rope lace.
Yes. Yeah. They had a wide variety. It came with both a regular flat lace and a rope lace, I believe.
Sick.
And pretty reasonably priced for like a, you know, what's becoming a very popular collab. I think this one was $110 and I believe this one was $90.
Not bad.
So really not too bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll take the cannoli as well.
It's fire. Yeah. Cannolis are also fire.
They are also so good.
I do like the other colors of the jogger. The pink one you said is pretty fire.
I think this has kind collection. Of been the signature color for this model.
Yeah.
I think Tyler's been wearing it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of the flagship one. But I do agree. I think the pink is... And there was a brown one, I believe.
Yeah.
Both of those, I kind of liked a little... There was a blue. The blue was a little too much for me.
Yeah.
But both the pink and the brown, I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more than this green. But
I like that you brought up, too, that he dug into the archives. We spoke about it briefly when this wasn't out yet.
When it was announced,
remember? Yeah. And we were saying that he spoke to those people from Converse and were like, he was like, you guys have these models and not they're not out? Like, he was tripped out, like, that he gets to make his own shoe from those models that aren't even out yet.
So. Which is cool because that's kind of, you're seeing that happen Jeff Staple with Brooks.
Yep.
He's been digging into their vault and like, well, you guys are, he said in an interview, you know, you guys are sitting on gold.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see that like all these models that people have never seen really are starting to come back.
Yeah.
And I think it's also cool that these brands like Converse and Brooks are trusting their designers and ambassadors to make the right choice. And so far so good.
And you know, history tells you that, right? He's had good collabs, so of course they're gonna trust him and be like, yeah, go ahead, do your thing.
He's proved his stuff, that's for sure.
And it's nice to see these artists putting their creativity into these things, other than just having designers say, okay, we'll make my shoe, this is what I want, you know.
Yeah So no, it's
really getting their fingers in there.
Yeah. And that's what Tyler's known for, you know.
For sure.
Generally produces, arranges, composes all his every song on all his albums. It's a very tight-knit album where, you know, he knows exactly what he wants. So, same with his, you know, his shoes. It seems like how he approaches life for the most part, at least creatively.
Hey, man. Shout out Felicia the Goat.
That's him. But yes, thank you for copying and dropping.
Thank you for that as well. You don't miss, bruh.
Moving on to Heat on Feet, just kind of zoom through this just because, you know, we touched on the finals a lot already. Wanted to shout out Chet like we did in the beginning.
He's been wearing some heat, man.
He's been wearing the KD18 for most of the season. You know, obviously him and KD kind of have a lot in common. Big, tall, slender guys that can do a lot on the court. This is him with...
Kenrich.
Yes, Kenrich. I want to say Kyron. And that's not his name. Kenrich Williams holding up that trophy. And here's a closer look. This is the Nike KD18 new timeline. And these are actually available right now.
What would you think if I told you this? Might be one of my favorite KD designs.
I think this has really grown on me because I like the 17 a lot too. And I feel like this expanded on that in a great way. Maybe I'm crazy. I could actually kind of see this as like, maybe not this colorway, but like, I'm just going to wear these.
Yeah.
Out. Like, they kind of have that vibe of like...
Being casual as also.
Being a casual kind of shoe, even though obviously KD's line of Nikes is one of the most popular performance shoes as well. But this model in particular, I'm like, man, they really knocked it out of the park.
I agree with you, bro.
But yeah, these are available right now. So if you guys feel the same, check out Nike. Got them. Chet finished with 18 points, 8 rebounds, no assists, 1 steal, 5 blocks.
Damn.
No turnovers and only 3 fouls, which was also, that was a big area of improvement for him in game 7. 6 of 8 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, and 5 for 8 from the line. Just to elaborate on what we mentioned earlier, I feel like he let the game come to him for maybe the first time in the series.
Yeah.
He kind of just played within his role so much better than I felt like he did the rest of the series. I don't have SGA and Heat on Feet just because we've talked about him in that new Shea 001 model so much.
And then the gold one he wore.
Yeah, he wore a gold pair. I'll put a picture up after he won finals MVP. After they won, he put those on. He had a great series. He finished with a series high for him, 12 assists yesterday. So, and of course, he averaged like 30 points for the playoffs. So he's just been, I feel like, you know, he's just a quiet assassin, man. Like, yep. We talked about it all season, how you just blink and, oh, Shea has 28 again. Like, how did he do that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people are going to complain about foul baiting and this and that. I really don't feel like he's doing it worse or more than most first option guys do, personally. I do think maybe the refs are giving him a better whistle than some other guys, but that's just how it goes. That's just how the NBA is. So I ain't mad at it. Just wanted to touch on Shea, shout him out really quick. Finals Big MVP.
Time. Yeah.
First finals MVP in 25 years to win the regular season MVP and also lead the league in scoring.
I just saw that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's some elevated company. Mm-hmm. I believe the other one is Shaq?
Shaq is in there. Jordan did it multiple times.
Of course, yeah.
LeBron only did it once.
Really? I don't know if LeBron ever did it.
Well, the stat I saw, it says like 1 year he did it.
Really? I'll have to look into that. Kinda I feel crazy. Like, because I don't know if LeBron has ever led the league in scoring.
Oh, no, sorry. He had the MVP of the season and finals MVP one time.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy.
Which is a trip to me. You'd think he'd have it multiple times.
Next up here, I've got J-Dub.
And Doherty.
And Dort. So this is, just to clarify, this is Jalen Williams. How many times can we do this?
Until the wheels fall off.
That first clip of us doing that, that was 2 seasons ago. Which was funny, because then, hey, we know our stuff. We were talking about the Thunder back then.
To all the OGs out there, you know what we're talking about.
Jalen Williams.
Right, Jason? Right, Jason and Mark. And Matt.
Jason and Matt, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Williams, I feel like, could have had a bid for finals MVP. His last few games were really good.
You said it was going to be him.
I thought, I mean, he had a great last few games. The 40 piece in the finals.
Nasty.
That's hard.
He's a good player. But another guy who kind of shot up.
He's ready now. I think that's what's the scariest thing about the Thunder winning these finals is that now they all have the experience. Like, you saw all the clips of them not being able to open the champagne, which was really funny and endearing. He said that was his first alcoholic beverage ever. He's 24, really? So he's young. So, dude, what a way to have your first drink. Finals championship champagne.
He's probably hurting today.
He said there was a clip of him walking around the locker room. Champagne is gross. But yeah, I feel like Jalen Williams, you know, the numbers are definitely in favor of Shea as finals MVP. But man, Jalen Williams, 23 points in the finals, 5 rebounds, 3.7 assists, shooting 43% from the field, which is decent, you know, given everybody else, about average. But just such a big impact, I thought. You know, he could he was doing a little bit of everything. So
easily the second, that's their second best guy.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Here's a closer look at his kicks. The Harden Volume 9 and the Ren and Stimpy colorway, which started out as a PE for him. You can see his J-Dub logo on the heel there.
Jub. Yeah.
Now these were available. They came out on June 6th. They're sold out right now. If they're still on Adidas's website and say, like, oh, you missed them, but, you know, sign up for a newsletter for when they come back. So Maybe they'll re-release them if you guys are interested in this, but, you know, no guarantees.
I like to see that it's selling out, though, you know.
I mean,
Adidas
super unique colorway. Yeah.
Yeah, and they did such a good job on the Harden. We've loved the Harden's line since he started. So
Harden 8 was one of my favorites. This one I haven't loved as much. Yeah. Just looks a little... I mean, you have this great, like we've seen a lot with Adidas shoes, like mm-hmm. almost a sock liner
yep.
interior with like a shell essentially over it.
Mm-hmm.
But the exterior to me looked a lot more bulky than the 8.
Yeah.
A little more clunky. So it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
This was I thought this was a cool colorway.
Yeah, I like this colorway too.
Although,
reminds me of the Joker a little bit.
Jalen Williams is only like 23, so I don't think he ever watched Pinky and the Brain.
No. That's for sure.
What do I know?
Maybe he's a Bluey guy.
He grew up on Caillou.
Yeah.
What's
his name? The coach of the Pacers.
Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle's Caillou.
That's what Caillou grows
Rick
up to
Car-
be.
Rick Caillou.
Rick Caillou Lyle.
Lyle.
And then last up, we had to shout out who I feel was kind of the heart of the Pacers, TJ McConnell.
Props.
He had a great series. He finished game 7 with 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 7 turnovers, which was pretty bad, 2 fouls, and 8 for 13 from the field.
Can I say, our boy Caruso for winning his second chip, but also undefeated Kobe 5s.
Those are nice.
Fire.
Those might have been the ones I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
They look crazy.
Those are super nice.
I'll have to check if it was him. But yeah, super, super crazy.
Yeah. But McConnell, legend.
It's funny because he was joking in his pressers and stuff about, now I finally have a real one.
And then they killed him on Twitter.
Yeah, people were hazing him and stuff. But I was like, I feel like he was making fun of the people that said it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Like, when you see the clip, he's like, oh, I finally got a real one now.
I wasn't offended.
I didn't think it meant that he doesn't think that championship's real. I think he was making fun of the people that say it isn't.
Yeah, he said, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever. That was a weird moment.
Also, haters.
Yeah. Here's a closer look at TJ's shoes. He's wearing the Nike Ja 1 mm-hmm. With just a team colorway. Like, this is available at Dick's for half off, actually, mm-hmm. right now.
Team Bank series.
Yes. For those heists that Ja and his boys would pull.
Yeah.
Hey, that joke really blew up in your face. Don't shoot jokes like that my way.
You really put the pin on that one. So the Ja 1 is a great shoe. It's
one of our favorites.
What is my favorite shoe? It's got a
Ja 1 or Ja 2?
Huh? Ooh.
I kind of like the Ja 2 a little bit.
I do.
I like the Ja 1 a lot, but...
Nice and simple.
It looks so simple.
Ja 2 is sick also. But the Ja 3, the bear got to it.
Right? Yeah, those crazy claw marks. I forgot about that. But shout out TJ. Really, you know, propelled this team.
12 is Morant, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was super confused looking into this. I was like, who is this? Yeah. Like, TJ McConnell does not wear number 12, but... he's number 9.
Yeah.
He did wear 12 at one point for a few years with the Sixers, but...
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's like, hey, you know,
it
used to be my
It
number.
Works. But yeah, shout out to TJ. Hell of a playoffs, hell of a series for him off the bench.
Good career, too.
Yeah.
Not that he's leaving, but, you know.
We have breaking news. good career.
Well, it's his career.
It's all downhill from here. He's had...
Up until this point, he's had a great career.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's all I got.
All right.
NBA season is over.
And now, what are we going to talk about?
Baseball.
Before we go, I'm going to try to stump the daddy. And I got some... I'm pretty excited about this one here. Okay? First one. First up.
All right. Hit me.
Most... double doubles ever, and I'm going to give you number 1 because it's easy.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay, who's number 2?
Most double doubles ever,
and the amount is Wilt had 968. Ridiculous.
That's stupid.
The next guy, 841. Still ridiculous.
That's still pretty insane.
And this guy is Ledge.
Moses Malone.
No, he is a big.
Hakeem.
No, getting closer though.
David Robinson.
Super close.
Patrick Ewing.
Getting further again.
Bang. Darn.
When you said David Robinson, think same team.
Dennis Rodman.
No.
Tim Duncan.
Yes.
Duh.
Tim Duncan, monster, bro.
Underrated, I feel.
841.
Oh, that's not fair.
Every time.
That's like every time you walk on the court.
Yeah.
Just give me the rebound.
And all the points.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Okay.
Always love Tim Duncan talk.
Yes. This one, not necessarily a stat, but...
I'm going to need you to address the rule book on this one. Then.
No, but... I wanted to see...
Kobe's favorite color is...
Which sign matches his sign? No.
Aries.
This one is the most successful 60th pick in the NBA draft. And I'm basing it off of their career stats.
60th. So last pick in the modern era of the draft.
Yes, because back in the day, they used to have seven
rounds,
which is insane. Yeah. Like 150th pick or something.
Yeah.
But the most successful
last pick.
Yeah. Last pick. And this guy is a beast. And I can't believe he was 60. Here's some hints.
Isaiah Thomas,
he's 58.
Oh, he was. Okay, yeah. Dang.
He
thought it was going to get you with that one.
One of the best shooters of all time.
Okay.
You have him in the pack that you got.
Oh. Drazen Petrovic?
Yes.
Really? I don't think I knew that he was the last pick.
60th? Well, okay. So he wasn't...
Oh,
he wasn't the last pick. He was 60th pick. And
it there was still in the time of multiple rounds?
Multiple rounds. But I said that because it's 60th is the last now. So,
yeah.
So he was technically...
Okay. Okay.
Not, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, for 60th pick, that him?
Drazen Petrovic?
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm sure any team would love that.
Yeah. No, that's some bang for your buck right there.
Okay. You might know this one already. The only...
Wilt Chamberlain.
No.
Oh.
The only undrafted player in the Hall of Fame. I have a feeling you brought it up before.
I don't know if this guy's in or not, but my gut says Big Ben Wallace.
He's in there.
All right. That's what I thought.
Nicely done. Dude, I did not stump you.
That guy's career, ridiculous. 3-time Defensive Player of the Year in a row.
Do not bring it in the paint.
And he was like 6'1"?
Yeah.
He wasn't 6'1".
He
was like 6'7". He wasn't super tall. Mm-hmm. The fro added, you know, like 5 extra inches.
And he was like the enforcer of that crazy ass Pistons team. Like, he made them scary.
Sheed was the voice where you're like,
yeah.
Sheed was scary. Like, he'd probably tell you something you don't want to hear. But Ben was the one that was going to back it up.
Mm-hmm. And then good luck chasing Rip, right? Around the
court. God, that team was...
And then you have Big Shot.
Yeah.
Like,
and Tayshaun, dude. Tayshaun had a chase down block on Reggie to send them to the finals. That's crazy. Fun Ben Wallace fact.
Okay.
Kobe's first big poster preseason.
Yes.
On an undrafted he was on the team, but Ben Wallace on the Wizards.
Yes.
No fro, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think you were the one that told me, but shout out his newly... new champion son, Cason Wallace.
What?
Yes.
I don't think I told you. Maybe a
long... Oh, no. Carlo told me that.
Maybe a long time
Carlo
ago.
Carlo told me that.
Dude, that's Ben Wallace's son? No.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, congrats.
Congrats to him, dude. Lots of chips in the family.
Success is Follows good.
Success is good. That's all I got for you today, bro.
Well, that was a good one. I'm there was a good one. I hate when the NBA season ends.
Yeah.
I do think that finals was really, really good. I do wish obviously Tyrese had been healthy for the whole thing.
Yeah.
That really puts a damper on the entire thing.
For sure.
But you know, great playoffs, great finals. I'm happy for the Thunder. I'm scared of the Thunder, as everyone should be, because they're ready, man. They're ready for a long string of championships.
Mm-hmm.
But good third. I guess this is our third NBA season.
Yeah,
full season.
Yeah, crazy that we've gotten to three. Happy.
Now, time for baseball.
Baseball, and we'll see. A lot of stuff's actually happening. So the draft is coming out. The draft is happening the day after this episode. And then July 1st is the opening of
free agency. Baby.
So, I mean, in 2 weeks, we got some crazy stuff happening already. So we'll have some free agency stuff for you. Talk about what happened this past season. Got some content coming up for you on our social media, so check that out. And we will catch you next time on the Flippity Floppity. EJ Party Corner, love ya.
It's all me. My Party Corner. He's the wiener. I am a guy.
That was good, bro. Damn. Nice.